I'm Pastor Mike. I'm blessed to see you all here today. I trust that you felt love when you walked into this place. I trust that you felt the Spirit of God move throughout the worship. And I trust that you will be attentive to God's word being presented today. I also trust that in all of your great maturity, if those trees are in your way, you would probably want to move to the center. Just a thought. If they're not, make sure you bring your Bibles because it's going to be this way for a few weeks. Isn't it beautiful? Oh my goodness, it's just beautiful. You can't see it because the screen's in your way. I know how it works. If you could please stand for the reading of the word. Worldwide warning of judgment. What a beautiful Christmas story. Isaiah 24, 1 says, "Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest as with the servant, so with his master as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, and as with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and a few men are left. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sigh. The murmur of the tambourine ceases, the noise of the jubilant ends, and the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The myrrh of the land is gone. And the city of desolation is left, and the gate is stricken with destruction. When it shall be thus in the midst of the land among the people, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Therefore glorify the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the Lord of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we heard songs, glory to the righteous. But I said, I am ruined, ruined, woe to me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously indeed. The treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear in the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and they will be shut up in the prison, and after many days they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously." Heavenly Father, we just ask that for the remainder of this time, you speak to our minds and to our hearts. Open our ears to hear what you have for us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That's some pretty powerful scripture there, isn't it? I'd really be anxious to hear what came out of the life groups. I heard what came out of my life group and these discussions and what people saw and what they gleaned from their study. And it was, to me, it was beautiful. I just loved it. This topic speaks to the great tribulation that is to come in the future. For the first chapters in Isaiah, with the exception of 6, 7, and 9, where it talks about actually another prophecy of our Savior, and we'll hear more about that in the next couple weeks. This talks about the judgment of the nations that came against Israel. It talks about the judgment of Israel. And the judgment of Judah even is spoken about. But here very specifically is a prophecy given to us in this chapter of the things to come. For what purpose? For God to exercise his wrath upon a sinful, wicked people. Whenever he came against a nation or a people or Israel or Judah, it's because of their hard and wicked hearts and their refusal to see him as God. Well, how can he do that? Because he is God. Well, I don't think. Well, that's right, you don't think. It's not about us thinking. It's about what he says we do. Well, that's not being, well, yeah, that I don't like that. That's not right. Yes, it is. And if you think differently, it's because you've been indoctrinated by a culture that has taken us into a whole different line of thinking, and you think about self first. I'm an expert at this. I know all about thinking about self first. From the time I was a little kid, I knew how to think about me and be concerned about me. This isn't about me. And when I look back on who I used to be, I don't like him. I was wrong most of the time. No, this is about what God is going to do because people have hard hearts. It's powerful. Before I even start preaching, when I became a Christian, and I believe God called me when I was a child. I had this talk with Sally. We had breakfast yesterday. It was beautiful. And we were talking about when God first put an impact on our hearts as to who he was and how special we were in his eyes. And it was powerful. But when I first made a decision to surrender my heart to him, that was a precious time in my life. I made a decision to raise my hands and surrender to him. And I thank him for the fact that he touched my heart, because with it came great emotion. But we're living in a day where we have to make a stand for him on our own. But when I made that decision to come to him, something stirred inside my soul, and I began to pursue him differently. Not in the right way, but in not a bad way. I began to read these books on these last days, because that was the one thing that really stirred my heart, probably scared me. And I began to read Salem Kerbin's 666 and the Thousand-Year Millennium. I read Hal Lindsey's books on the late great planet Earth. And I read Billy Graham's book on Approaching Hoofbeats and the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And that stuff lit me up and it got me excited. Now, those books that I read were fascinating and they were entertaining. And then I came across other books that were so amazing. It was books that I could follow, the Ted Deckert book series, where you could just follow these exciting things that are happening in the spiritual realm. And oh, one of my favorites was This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. And I learned about spiritual things, and it was incredible. And then the one we all probably know is the Jenkins LaHaye Left Behind series, which actually laid a kind of a decent foundational understanding. But the problem was, those great books were not the Word of God. And they had a theology about them that maybe was a man's theology, and they didn't line up with the Word of God. So last week when we spoke, the idea of knowing God's Word to help set the standard, to help unpollute the, what was the word we used? The doctrine. We know that we need to go to God's Word. How beautiful was it when you hear a man who's reading through the Word of God and he starts to speak where he's at currently and how it's affecting him today, which links up with the things we're dealing with today. It's beautiful. So I love those books. I love this topic. The study of the things of the end. I love it. I love it because now I look at it from a different vantage point. I don't see judgment like I used to see it, and I don't judge judgment like I used to judge it. Now when I look at it, I see what God is doing for me and his bride, the church, and I get excited about it. You know what he does? He gives us warnings. And as these are good warnings. The kinds of warnings he's given us. When I talk to you about the book of Isaiah, those first, 22 chapters, 23 chapters. He's talking about what he's done to the nations. Those have all been fulfilled. He has done what he said he would do. And those nations paid a price for their rebellion, their wicked hearts, and their wickedness. So when God says he will judge, I'm learning that he will judge. And those he won't judge, he won't judge. When he says he takes your sin and removes it from you as far as the east is from the west, that means I won't be judged. Is that not beautiful? That I won't be judged? That doesn't mean I'm without sin. In reality, I sin. I struggle with sin. I fight against it. I wrestle with it. I deal with sin. But the greater reality is the price I was supposed to pay for sin was already paid. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become his righteousness. What a beautiful thing. So now when I look at what he has done and I look at the things that are to come, I really don't get to play a part in this picture. Thank you, Jesus. When I read the Left Behind series, I put myself right in the seat of Raymond. I believe that was his name. And how I was going to navigate through the Great Tribulation. How I was going to avoid this and how I was going to thwart the plans of the enemy. Well, I just as soon do that right now as best as I can. Because I don't want to do this in the Great Tribulation. And that's what this book is talking about. Who is it about? This tribulation time is God's wrath of judgment. The same cup that Jesus drank when he was in the garden. The wrath of God. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, yours be done. Wow. What is the cup he's drinking of? The wrath of the Father against sin, rebellion. And he takes from the cup. And he takes the punishment we should all take. And because of that, and because I believe that, and I receive that, he did that for me. I don't face what's coming in these last days. And I just thought it was important to lay this backdrop before you. During this time, it won't just be people that suffer. It'll be the world. The world itself, the earth, is going to suffer just like people. Pastor Jerry took weeks to do this teaching. I'm going to do it in about 20 minutes, so you're going to get shortchanged a little bit, but that's all we have. And it was a marvelous, wonderful teaching on the book of Revelation. He took us through it. And he spoke on the Great Tribulation. When he got to the point of the Great Tribulation, he lit up like a Christmas tree that was on fire. He would say things that if you're here during that time, that means you didn't receive Christ. But if you're here during that time, you break into this church, you steal, at that time it was tapes. You steal the tapes of this message because you're going to need it. It was a beautiful thing. And I was thinking, I wonder, would I sneak in through the front doors? Would I bust in? How would I get in there, get those tapes? And are they in the vault? What would I do? And I thought, wait a minute, I'm not going to be here. But it put a scare in those who don't know who Christ is. And it shocked us into the reality of who he is and how he does what he says he'll do. And before I even get into this just a little further, I just want to say that there is a veil over the eyes of many to this day. And the veil that has been put over the eyes of the Jew in this day was put there by God because of their wickedness and their hard hearts. So they can't see clearly their Messiah. They will. They will see clearly. And it'll be glorious. But it won't be an easy time for the Jew. For the Gentile who has the veil over their eyes, that's not from God. That's the work of Satan himself and his minions, his deceivers, because that's what he does, is he deceives people. All kinds of deceptions, kind of deceptions like, you're okay. All is well. You're going to be all right. you don't really have to do the church thing because you fed the whales, you saved the seals, you know, you worked in an orphanage, you shook the bell in the mall, you visited a nursing home at Christmas time. You're good. You don't have to buy into all this Jesus stuff, this God stuff. And people suck this up. You help save the trees. You're actually a good steward. You take care of the land. But none of that matters on this side of salvation, on the wrong side of salvation. It doesn't matter. And we're deceived, and people are deceived in this day that they're okay. No, they're not okay. They're not okay if they haven't come to the place where all are called to come, where we say Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the only way to the Father. The work he did when he drank the wrath, he did for me. And I receive it and I believe it and I walk in it. Those are the ones that can look at this story with a different feeling. And your anxiety about this would be to go and tell. Not what's going to happen to you, what's going to happen to them. And cultivate a heart for those who don't know who he is. I probably jumped topics. I'm still in the introduction. We're in big trouble here, but maybe I don't need to talk too much today. How do we know that this comes about like this? Well, it was in today's reading. Behold, the Lord makes the earth. Egrets means it could mean earth, world, people, but the actual structure of the earth. And he makes it a waste. He distorts it. He flips it. He turns over its surface. He scatters abroad its inhabitants. As we're talking in this chapter, you can go to Revelation 6 through 19 and go into more detail about this time period of the Great Tribulation. I'm going to encourage you to do that. There was another prophecy given, but this one was given by Jesus himself, and you go to Matthew chapter 24. If you're going to take any notes, these are the two notes you need to take. Matthew chapter 24, read that. Revelation chapter 6 through 19. And you can read that, and that will give you a picture of this day. That's a lot of ink put out there for what's going to come as compared to what hasn't happened. So I'm going to give you the briefer version of it. And then he goes on to say, it goes to all people. It doesn't matter who you are or your station in life. You are susceptible to two things at this time. Being called up with a church because you believe, or being left behind because you refuse to believe, because that's fairy tale stuff, or that's not real, you might think. And you were deceived, or you drank the Kool-Aid, you bought the lie, whatever, and you're left behind. Revelation 6:15 says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves. This is during the time of this tribulation. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? It will be so horrible in that day that you will want to lose your life and you can't. When you get into the verses, there's about seven verses in here that speak about wine and strong drink. Right now, wine and strong drink, if you sit down and you have a glass of wine, or two, at a meal, good for you. Enjoy the wine, enjoy the meal. It's okay. But if you take wine and use it as an intoxicant to lose your wits about you, that's an issue. But why do people do it? Socially acceptable, the culture pushes it, especially this culture here in Green Bay. Feels kind of good. And the biggest thing is, I learned that when I drink and I feel good, I actually forget about my problems. In this day, that won't work. What's the word? Pharmacia? Peter? Pharmacia. Drugs are the same thing. Right now, in this world, in this country, drugs have been so over-prescribed that there's opiate addictions all over the place. Doing what? Covering pain, masking pain, helping with pain. In this community, alcohol's been a big thing for covering pain, masking pain, helping us get through. Had a tough day, got to take the pressure off, got to ease up. Can't talk to people. I'm not very good at it. I could use that to help me talk to people. In this day, those things won't work. The anguish is so great that there's nothing that can anesthetize. You all know what I mean. From the horror that's to come in that day. We're in a culture right now that every state, probably within the next few years, marijuana will be legalized. I'm just going to say, it may seem like not a big deal. It's a horrible deal. It steals and robs you of your motivation and drive. I would watch it in high school all the time when I was teaching. There'd be kids that are great athletes, great students, and all of a sudden they hit a slide. And I'd say, this kid's too smart to hit a slide, or this guy was a great athlete. What happened? I don't care. Just don't care anymore. Why? Because he got caught up in smoking pot on a regular basis, and the only thing he cared about was smoking pot. And now we have a culture that's going to support it. I've seen more CDB, or I don't know if that's chronic wasting disease with deer or if that's marijuana. I don't know. And they make it in little gummies to make sure the little kids like it, and it's more appealing, and it just seems so simple. They did the same thing with acid and other kinds of drugs. And anyway, people are going to move to that stuff, but that stuff will not work in this day. Nothing will ease the pain. Lord, let the mountains and rocks fall on me because I want to die. And you know what's interesting? They still won't come to Christ. They won't come to Christ. Who will come to Christ during this time? The Jew is going to come to Christ. The Jew, the faithful Jew, will have come to Israel, and they will hear from the evangelists, which are Jewish, which God has prepared and set aside for a time such as this to speak the truth of who Christ is, and they will see the Messiah for the first time because the veil will be lifted, and they will receive him, and they will be the most glorious of people. So if you're a person who believes that the Jew no longer matters because now they crucified Jesus and now the church is what matters, you're missing the boat. You're off. The Jew totally matters. They totally matter. That's why we pray for them. That's why we pray for Israel. That's why we pray for the Jews. That God would bless them because God says in turn he'll bless us if we do that. Wow, it's pretty exciting stuff, isn't it? There will be people, I believe. This is my opinion. During that time, there will be people who do receive Christ that are Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jewish people. And I believe they will receive Christ during this time, but it will cost them their life. I just moved from the tribulation into the great tribulation. How does that happen? How does it go this far? How does it get that crazy? Because the leader of that day, the Antichrist, and I'm really off my notes, so I'm just telling you what's on my heart. The Antichrist will be shrewd and sharp. And he will probably create a system of prosperity like we haven't seen before and what looks like peace like we haven't seen before. And it will look good. And we will think as a church that we are sliding into the millennial reign. No, we're not. Don't be deceived. Money is not God's big friend at all. He's more concerned about your heart than he is the wealth that you have. Where is your heart? And they'll be deceived and they'll move away from God because look, it must be a godly thing because look what this leader is doing. It's more about what this leader is doing than what Jesus had done. And at that point, they've been deceived. Do not be deceived. Know the standard. Know the, what was it again? Know the doctrine. Don't pollute the doctrine. Don't be with those who pollute the doctrine. They're not good for you. If they tell you that the only day you go to church is Saturday, otherwise you're lost, don't go to them. If they tell you you eat a bacon burger, which is one of the greatest sins that I think anybody could ever say, you eat a bacon burger, you can't because you violated the law, don't go to them. You hear somebody speaking the truth and you see them receiving resistance as they speak it, maybe go to them. Hear what they have to say. If they speak the truth of who Jesus is and the sacrifice he paid for you, listen to what they have to say. And then I would say further, then replicate what they have to say, that you would speak it to others who need to hear it. Pastor James, I'm really off my script here. Why don't you come on up here, if you could. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I said that the people will be affected. In verse 14, it speaks about the remnant. The remnant. God always had a remnant especially with Israel. He always had a people that were faithful. And during this time, this remnant will be singing the new song. They'll be glorifying God and praising. It says that in verses 24 to 27, 26. We can be like the remnant. We are the remnant of today for this church. That we would sing the new song, but we wouldn't sing it from here. We would sing it up in the throne room of God, preparing for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we'll be singing a new song. Because at the same time here on earth, when the world is going through this great tribulation, up in church, if you go to Revelation 12, up in heaven, there's things happening. There's battle going on in the warfare going on in the spirit realm. Demons are going to be cast down into hell. Michael will take Satan himself. The angel Michael will take Satan himself and bind him and chain him. And he'll do it at the command of Christ. Now, I don't want to get in big into angels and demons other than to say that they are real. Both. And if there was an opposite to Satan, a complete equal opposite to Satan, it's probably Michael, the archangel. Don't buy the deceptive lie that he's the equal opposite of Jesus, because the creation can never be as great as the Creator. There's no such thing. The awesomeness of God is so far beyond what he created. Know that, because in it you find some hope. When you hear the roaring like a lion, as opposed to the song we sang earlier, the roaring lion, who's Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah, when you hear him roar, listen. But when you hear the roaring lion who roars like a lion, don't listen to him. He's angry right now because he knows his time is short. He's looking to deceive and devour all that he can. And Jesus, by his Spirit, is slow and he's patient that none would perish. You see, this scripture from 24 is for us in this day. He's telling what's going to happen in this day and what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's called the Great Tribulation. And I believe, there's theology out there that says at different times, I believe the strongest case scripturally is that the church is called up to the Father. They call it the rapture. And God blows the trumpet, or the angel blows the trumpet, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up together to meet with them in the air. That's the bride of Christ. And where do we go? We go from there probably to the wedding supper of the Lamb, I'm guessing. I don't know the order, to be honest with you, because there's no time. I don't know how order works without time. It's eternal. And at that time, God, not Satan, God begins to pour out his judgments. What do they look like? There's seal judgments. There's trumpet judgments. And there's bowl judgments. There's seven of each. And each one gets progressively worse. And they cause destruction. It's really judgment and punishment. Well, I don't think that's right. What I say, don't think. Trust God. He knows what he's doing. You should be watching it from a different place. Heaven. You should not be looking around you saying it's on me right now. That would be sad. You can take care of that issue even today. And at the halfway mark of this tribulation period of time, it's a seven-year period. And you can read about that in Daniel. You'll get the numbers of all how this unfolds. And it's awesome. But the first 3.5, things are being poured out, but things are happening on a spiritual level, and they're happening on a government level, and they're happening on a people level, but it's not so overwhelming yet. Peace accords will be drawn up during this time because this great leader will take care of that stuff. Wealth, I believe it'll be a prosperous time. And there'll be a requirement that you take the mark of a beast. And I don't know what that is, 666. They say that, I just heard this, that seven is like the number of completion. It would be God's number. Six is the number of man trying to be God. And you take this mark, And if you buy it, you can't buy or sell without this mark, because there's a shift now. Things are going to become rougher. There's no more. This is the final line in the sand that's drawn. Why would you take this mark? Because you can't buy or sell without it. Or you have to give allegiance to the one that's over the government at that time. And it's allegiance over that as opposed to over of God, allegiance to him. The peace accord is a phony, like all the other ones we've seen before. You've seen thousands probably since you've been, if you're my age, you've seen so many peace accords that all fell through. But then the restrictions begin to come. And then God begins to pour out the trumpet judgments at about the half-year part. Then he begins to pour out the bowl judgments, which are horrible. That's the woe, woe, woes. And worth begins to take its consequences because of the fall that happened in Genesis when we chose the tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life. It's pretty incredible. And all of a sudden, the earth begins to shake in places it never shook before. Everything we've blamed man for, God is now taking to the next level. Water rising? Probably is. Ice caps melting? They probably are, because of the sin of man. But when the judgments of God comes upon the earth, it'll be more than what we can handle. And then as far as coming to faith at that time, if you did not receive the mark, praise God. But you have to make a decision for Jesus. And it will probably cost you your life to make a stand for Christ at this time, or your head comes off and it rolls down the steps. And it will be in front of people, to scare people into turning from God. But by this time, people are pretty much right where they said they would be, apart from him, because they couldn't buy it. They saw everything that he was doing. They saw that none of it mattered. Their hearts were so hard and so bitter that the veil that Satan put over their eyes, they don't want it to move. They begin to gnaw at their teeth. They begin to wail and whine. And it's after that that things are settled between heaven and hell. It's a temporary settlement. It's temporary of about 1,000 years. You come to the end of this tribulation. Those who oppose God are now gone. The Jews who accepted him are now up in heaven. Where it goes from there. The Bible says that there's a 1,000-year period where Satan is bound. Remember I said Michael threw him down? Satan is bound for 1,000 years. No longer to tempt us, to deceive us, or to lie to us. And it says you, church, me, as part of the church, will rule and reign with Christ for this 1,000 years. I can't even comprehend what that means. But I'm ruling and reigning with him. My hunch is he's doing the heavy lifting. We get to be a part of what he's doing. Praise God. But then after 1,000 years, this demonic presence is released for a time to deceive, because all of us have to come to God by faith. It'll be like the time in the garden, or the time prior to Noah's Ark, where people would live that long. Now it sounds a little phony, doesn't it? Trust it. It's God's word. It's real. And some will be deceived again because their hearts are wicked. If they didn't ask Christ, if they didn't have a relationship with Christ, even there in the presence, and they're deceived again, they will suffer with the angels from the heavenly places, which is not angels, it's demons. That is the story of this book. And that was written 700 years before Christ. And he's telling them, Isaiah is telling them, this is what's to come. So be wise. Know of this Savior. How do they know about the Savior? They know about the Savior because of Moses. They know about the Savior because of Isaiah the prophet, and Ezekiel the prophet, and Jeremiah the prophet. Christmas time is right here, And the scriptures you hear from Isaiah 6, 7, and 9 are all about our Savior. And how should they know? Because in Psalm 22 it says he came as a lamb to the slaughter, that he is going to sacrifice. That's what the Messiah would do. They should see it, but they don't see it. Why don't they see it? One, their hearts are wicked, and two, the veil's over their eyes. But we see it. Don't let Satan put a veil over your eyes. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And I ask you that you close your eyes. This is a private time. And we haven't really done this a whole lot lately, but I think now is an appropriate time. Before I say this, what I want you to know is what Isaiah prophesied in the early chapters came into fulfillment. History tells us those things happened. This thing that I'm speaking about today will happen. The day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the Son, the Bible says. But the Father only. But we'll know the season. And if you read Matthew 24, you say, wow, the season is like here. So I don't mean it to be scare tactic. This is just the truth of God's word. But you need to make a decision for Jesus. Everything hinges on him and everything falls apart. I'm talking galaxy-wise without Christ. He holds all things together, the Bible says. Are you going to let him hold you together? That's the question. Will you allow him to hold you together? For me, it was 30 years ago, about. I lose track of my time. Where I surrendered to him, I raised my hand and said, Jesus, you are Lord. I cried like a school child, but my heart, it was a joyful cry. God had touched it. If you say no to this decision, you're susceptible to greater deception. So what I'm going to ask you to do with everybody's eyes closed and heads down, if you want to receive Jesus for real, where you make him the Lord of your life, you say, I have to change who I see as Lord. If that's you, yeah, man, hands are going up already. Is there anybody else that wants to raise their hand to receive Jesus? Raise it high so I can see it. I see it. Is there anybody else? You're not saved. You don't know that you want to be saved. That's what saved is. Saved from the destruction to come. Is there anybody else? Okay, I'm going to ask the altar workers to come forward, those who are scheduled. We're going to pray together, but I'm going to suggest you come and talk to one of these counselors up here at the altar. But let's the congregation and I pray together. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know my need.
I know my need.
More than ever, I know my need.
More than ever, I know my need.
My need is you.
My need is you.
Take my sin.
Take my sin.
Change my heart.
Change my heart.
And be Lord.
Be Lord.
I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says, I got to remember what the Bible says. He was going to tell me something. The Bible says that if you acknowledge me before man, that's the believer. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord before the believer. The Bible says that he will acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. If that's you, feel free to come forward here. I would encourage you to talk to these people, and they're going to just talk to you a little bit. Not going to ruin your afternoon. You'll still get to see the game. But you come on up here and let them pray for you. But if you raised your hand and you prayed that prayer we just prayed in your heart, you are now a part of the body of Christ. And when the trumpet blast comes, you come too. Praise God for that. That is our faith. But I want to encourage you to come up. If you have a need, you need prayer, come up to one of these people here at the altar and get prayed for. It's the safest place there is to get prayed.